Our next guest, hey, probably wears a unitard all the time. Something would tell me he'd feel very confident. Matt Cause from TSN 1050 joins us. Matty, how you doing?
Well, the argument usually is among the mass populace, what looks better when I'm in a unitard? Is it my calves or my ass? And it's always a wild debate that, you know, like many great arguments and mysteries since the beginning of time, there is no right answer. There's just lots of shades of gray.
Yes. Well, hey, I could. I'm sure your coworkers have had many nights debating this heavily.
They get angry at me when I don't wear one. If I just wear slacks or a pair of sensible khakis, they'll come up to me and say, where's the unitard? And I'm like, oh, I forgot. And then, you know, I bring it the next day. And let's face it, anyone picturing that won't stop throwing on.
I'm kind of surprised that those are the two areas you said look the best.
Well, you know, I start there. I start with a gold medal, then I work my way down from there.
Give me your thoughts on a few NHL-related issues. The Mike Richards, we all expected this. The LA Kings, I think, took a real shot in the dark when they tried to They successfully got it granted by the NHL. But we knew the NHLPA was going to appeal this. Now it's just a matter of they're going to try to expedite it so it happens before the season starts.
Oh, it's going to be great because, you know, this is not just about money. This is about control. And what you're seeing more and more, just in sports in general, where the athlete is gaining more and more control. It used to always be the owner held all the keys. And they still do. They still hold at least 51%, which makes you the majority owner. But I love any case where it's about money, but it's about control. And this one's going to lead to a lot of mudslinging. I don't think we know all the information with Mike Richards, which could eventually paint the NHLPA in an odd situation. Just know that there's going to be a lot of rumor and innuendo on this, but this is one of those cases I always find fascinating because you've got two sides that just don't trust each other, which is the case for most leagues in terms of the PA versus the commissioner or the owner.
Well, you know what? You look at from the NFL standpoint. At least Gary Bettman's wise enough not to overlook the appeal himself. He will let an independent arbitrator do it.
Yeah, that's good of him. Yeah, that's good of him. By the way, just real quick, I mean, are you shocked as much as I am that this is still a story? And I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not a Brady fan. I never thought there should have been a suspension.
No,
even the first round draft pick that New England had to give up was huge. Look at the Atlanta Falcons. They were found guilty of pumping illegal noise into their home games to distract the other team. That's far worse than there may or may not have been a ball or two slightly underinflated, and we don't know the full story because the NFL lied to Chris Mortensen, who released it to the world, and then in the Ted Wells report we find out it's not actually true. But it's more about the criminal. It's more we don't like Belichick and the Patriots, and we don't like Brady, and we're jealous of their success and Giselle Bündchen and everything else. But really, it's not about the crime. It's about the criminal. That one to me is just – it's just typical Goodell where he's absolutely no control. He's like Captain Ahab, only if Ahab got paid $40 million a year by a bunch of nutty, egomaniacal owners.
You won't get an argument from me. I'm a Dolphins fan. I can't stand the Patriots. But I thought this is a witch hunt from the beginning. And the NFL is looking more foolish by the day as this transpires. But the thing is, NFL fans don't care. They had more people watching a preseason NFL game than they did the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I know. That's the States. And I know in Canada we get upset by it, but we can't. It's the same way NBA fans here go nuts about the lack of coverage. And by the way, though, shame on anyone who watched that preseason game, because I always have the same emotion. When the preseason game starts before, I'm sort of excited because, like, all right, another version of football is back. I love all football. So I'm like, oh, great, the NFL's on. And then about maybe a minute in, I realize it's the preseason, and I have to turn the channel quickly because it is wildly boring, and I would shame myself if I actually sat and watched the preseason.
Yeah, no chance. Like, unless I guess you're a fan of that team and you want to see who's going to be their third and fourth depth guys on the depth chart, there's no other reason.
Even then, we talk big like we'll do that. I think at most I would PVR. Like, I'm a New York Giants fan. I grew up one since Parcells. But I think I'd PVR it. and then I'd watch it for a couple minutes, and then I would say I would get back to it. But it's sort of like, you know, how I treat stretching, flossing, or that, you know, or cardio. It's like, I got to get back to this. And then you're like, nah, I'm going to move on to something else.
Matt Cause joins us from TSN 1050. Matt, quickly, in your city right now, Jays fever is all over the place, of course. You can't really – can you compare it to the excitement of what it was like when the Leafs finally made the playoffs a few years ago after missing for seven?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely you can. And people will think that's crazy. Oh, it's a Leafs town. Well, David Price and Tulowitzki, those stories dwarfed the re-signing of Jonathan Bernier. Bernier is the lead, is the number one goaltender here. He started around 60 games, and that was back page news. So absolutely you can compare it. And, you know, I mean, there is, I mean, both teams suffered a long time without making the playoffs. At least, you know, a lot of people here, you know, remember the last time they won the World Series. One of the producers for our show was 3 years old when the Jays beat Atlanta. I wanted to punch him in the throat. But you were three. So there is a bit of a difference because at least our suffering or Jays fans suffering is not as bad as Leafs. But you can because you start to get swept up and, you know, and it's unexpected. You know, no one expected the Leafs to make the playoffs that year in that strike-sort season. And before the deal for Tulowitzki, the talk was, well, goodbye, Anthopoulos. Screw you, Rogers. Another year of not doing anything. Let's all wait for Jose Bautista to get very angry at management. And then the exact opposite happened, and now we're stuck in a world of joy and happiness, which confuses many fans.
Well, Donaldson today and Price named co-players of the week in the American League. I got a question for which acquisition do you think is the most important?
Ooh. So this is okay, between Donaldson and Price, I'm going to go off the board and go Price, and I'll explain.
Okay. I was going to, you can include Tulowitzki, any of the other ones.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Price because if he didn't make the Donaldson move, Brett Laurie's having not a bad year with Oakland. He's actually healthy. So Donaldson, you know, he's a very good defensive player, nowhere near the offense, but the Jays would have had plenty of offense even without Donaldson. But what David Price did was it sort of changed the entire mindset of the clubhouse, of that this is that they're legit, that management is going to go for it, that everyone is all in. And I know people are going to yell and scream and say it's Donaldson. I'm not going to argue that much to the other side if you're going to go with Donaldson, but Price felt so much more new. I mean, the Jays have made trades in the past of the offseason, and though none have worked out nearly as well as this, but you know, the idea that the Jays were able to outbid the Yankees and everyone else and get the prize at the deadline, you know, a guy won the Cy Young a couple of years ago, just feels a little bit more different and gave the team that final kick that they needed. Because let's face it, they had Donaldson up until now, and the team was 500 or just under 500. The bringing in a Price seems to just change things.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I think the Tulowitzki addition, you know, he's your center of your diamond. He's great defensively. He leads off. He plays every game. You know, and hey, Price is dynamic in his two starts. Tulowitzki, in the games he started, they're undefeated, right? And
yep.
That's eight.
That's a great point. That's a great point. You're right. I didn't even, you know, mention Tulowitzki, which is such a great thing. Like, things are going so well in Toronto that I bypass Tulowitzki, who, you know, when healthy, is probably the best shortstop in baseball. As I said, this is confusing times in Toronto. It's an embarrassment of riches.
Speaking of riches, do you think, regardless of how far they go in the postseason this year, will the Jays spend more next year to try to keep Price or bring in other guys to ensure that they keep this momentum going and it's not just a one-year thing?
You would imagine they would because they went all in. Even if they lose Price, they have Tulowitzki for four more years. Next year, you would have the final years of the contracts for Encarnacion and for Bautista. So if you have those guys on the final year, you might as well make one last chance. And this is rare for me to say, but you know, to give faith in Rogers and ownership. But it feels if you're going this far, why not continue? And I know there's only a 1 or 2% chance they keep David Price, but until he's not here next year, I could at least, you know, keep up a slim chance it's going to happen. It beats the alternative of assuming the worst.
Very true. A few other things around the world of sports. The Toronto Argonauts are, you know what, I know they're going to have a new ownership and they're going to have a new home next season. And, you know, with all the other sports, you know, the Pan Am Games was well received more than anybody expected in Toronto.
Yep.
Do you think the Argos, you know, who are really a good story without Ricky Ray thus far this season, are they, you know, not this year with the Jays, but do you think if they move outdoors that they can, you know, get a pulse in the city again next year?
I think they can, because listen about the Pan Am Games. We were all cynical that there's no way it would do well in the city of Toronto. And I know it's a big difference because Pan Am Games, you're also going after a lot of different countries and a lot of different nationalities. But clearly the Toronto city is at least the Toronto city. How redundant. What a dumb sentence by me. But at least this area has a more of a thirst for sports than maybe we give the city credit for. Usually, you know, we're down on it. And I think it's just about create an event, create a place to be, and people will come. And, you know, if the Argos continue success, if Trevor Harris becomes, you know, the next Zach Collaros, well, then you've got a young, exciting quarterback, so at least you can sell offense, which certainly helps. And then in BMO and a cooler environment, and hopefully you eventually create something that's similar to what you have at Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, where it's a great neighborhood feel that you still retain from back in the Ivory Wynne days, but with a better stadium. So I think it absolutely is possible.
One last one for you. Have you thought about how it would be in Toronto right now if Rob Ford was still the mayor?
Oh, I don't think about that name very much at all.
Like, would he be doing during this Jays great turnaround?
Oh, my God. It would be horrible. Because every time he showed up to an event last year, they would, whatever team it was, you know, the Argonauts, oh, they lose. Like, you know, they he showed up for the last playoff game, and the Argonauts were leading. And then he shows up in the stadium, and then, you know, they get outscored, and they lose the game. I feel if he showed up, here's what would happen. David Price would, his first pitch, the ball would go off, the batter would foul it off and would hit Josh Donaldson. And on that pitch, David Price would tweak something or tear a rib, and you would lose both players on one play. Rob Ford he's like the cooler, the movie with William H. Macy in it. Like, Rob Ford shows up to your event, you're going to lose. But you mentioned Rob Ford. It reminds me when Obi-Wan Kenobi, when Luke says, you know, mentions his full name, and Obi-Wan's like, that's a name I haven't heard for a long time. That's how I'm feeling about Rob Ford. And yes, I am a nerd by making that obscure Star Wars reference.
Well, Matty, enjoy what has been a very surprising turnaround for the Toronto Blue Jays. I can only imagine there will be many sellouts in Toronto, and people probably converging outside watching games like we've seen with the Leafs and the Raptors.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be sold out for the Yankees series. Hey, by the way, before I go, what's going on with Mike Riley? What's the health status? I know Edmonton been very impressive with defense and we've been able to run the ball, and Nichols is getting better. Is Riley going to be back late in the year?
Oh, yeah. Riley was back on the practice field today, albeit very limited. His return date, you know, we're looking somewhere like week 13, I would think. The Eskimos, Ed Hervey, their general manager, has a history of not rushing back players. And if they have to wait an extra week, even if it's not until week 16, they won't rush Riley. But I actually spoke to him yesterday, and he's feeling fine. He was able to do a lot of rehab, more than he would have, just because the CFL rule now, you can't practice if you're on the injured list. And so that allowed him, rather than go to practice and stand around and help the guys and then try to do your rehab afterwards, he did his rehab the entire time when guys were on the field for 2.5 hours, and he felt like that's helped him. So he feels stronger. But yeah, he's at least, I would say, another 5 weeks away.
Okay, because most talented team in the league before the injury, I thought, was Edmonton. And, you know, still playing great without him. So a fascinating story. And if you keep winning with Nichols, you could have that uncomfortable situation the Argonauts are going to have to deal with Ricky Ray and Trevor Harris.
Yeah, I can tell you that's unlikely to happen in Edmonton.
I'm trying to be nice to Matt Nichols. I've made fun of him in the past. I'm trying to be nice.
All right, Matt, appreciate your time.